All right, Achrei Mos. Okay, how many psukim? Oh, Aaron, you like to know how many psukim? Last week. It's been a long time since we read it's already. It was 90. Now Achrei Mos says 80. 80 psukim. Small ish parsha. Achrei Mos. Okay. All right, so Yom Kippur, a lot of Yom Kippur. We're going to focus mostly on Aaron and his sons, at least to start. So let's see, that's where the parsha begins. Okay, so let's just read the Chumash inside a little bit, and then we'll start with the first piece on page Kuf Lamed Aleph. Okay, so let's read the first two psukim in the parsha. Vayidaver Hashem al Moshe achrei Mos shnei v'nei Aaron, v'kar v'asam lifnei Hashem v'yemusu. Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe achrei Mos, after the death of the two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu. And they got close, they drew close to Hashem and they died. Now what did Hashem say to Moshe in that pasuk? Like, Hashem spoke to Moshe after Aaron's two sons died. Okay. And then, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, pasuk beis. So it's almost like, was there a conversation in pasuk aleph that preceded what we're about to read? Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Davir al Aaron Aficha. Moshe, go tell your brother Aaron, you can't go into Kodesh Kedosh whenever you want. You can't enter into that space to stand in front of the Aaron in the Kodesh Kedosh. And by not coming there whenever you want, it's like a double negative awesome, right? It doesn't say, and if you go there, you will die. It says, don't come there all the time, and that way you won't die. You can only enter with the Anan, with the cloud of the Ketores that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur. It's an interesting discussion among some of the Mefarshim. What happens if Aaron were to bring these Karbanos today? Not today, Tavshin Peidal, I'm saying on any day of the year. Right? In other words, on Yom Kippur, there's a Chiyuv to bring certain Karbanos. What if the Kohen Gadol said, I want to go into Kodesh Kedashim, right? I'm in the mood to go into Kodesh Kadash. So Hashem says, well, you can't come in except in the following way. Right? Bezosi of Aaron al Kodesh. The Parvan Bakar al Chatas, Vayal Ola. But let's say Aaron says, okay, I understand that. But in the month of Kislev, I'm feeling inspired. I want to go to Kodesh Kadash. So can I bring all these things and go in? So that's a very interesting discussion. Yeah.
Also, it sounds like that, like, maybe Nadav Aviv's Chayv was not. They drank wine or not, that they gave an Azar,
right?
And they went to Kodesh Kedoshim.
Yeah. So we have to figure out how to balance Parsha Shmini and Parsha Achrei Mos. Right? In Shmini, it says explicitly in the Pasuk that they brought an Azar before Hashem. Right? They brought a fire that was unwarranted before Hashem. Here it says they died, right? Bekar Vasam Lifnei Hashem. Sounds like even just entering that space. Right? And then, right? Mark's reminding us that there's many other opinions of Chazal. There's as many as 12 different opinions. What did they do? They were disrespectful to the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. They drank wine. They didn't get married. A lot of different opinions what their chet was. Okay, so let's read the first piece. So he says, Hinei b'pasuk harishon lo pirish ma haya hadibor l'moshe. It says, v'yadavar Hashem al Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe. But it didn't say what Hashem said to Moshe. First of all, hi. Shalom aleichem. Great to see you. Jacob, welcome back. Oh, Jacob. I'm still. Welcome back. Great to see you guys. Okay, Ve'im hu mashi yitzav l'aron. And if you'll tell me, Hashem is telling Moshe what he's about to tell Aaron, but that's the second pasuk. Hinei ze amira b'fnei atzma b'pasuk beis. That's its own pasuk. Again, pasuk aleph, Hashem spoke to Moshe after the death of Aaron's sons. And Hashem said to Moshe, tell Aaron the following. So what's the first Vayidaber Hashem of Moshe? Right? Sounds like Hashem, again, you could just read it as Hashem spoke to Moshe, and here's what he said, but it seems a little wordy. V'nira dezehu ha'gedama v'tam l'moshe adoneinu sibas ha'mitzvah she'etzava la'aron sholo yavo b'chol eis v'chu. Hashem was, the first pasuk Hashem was actually explaining to Moshe, and it goes to what Remark Shlita is saying, that Hashem is explaining to Moshe, why did Aaron's sons die? Before I tell you what to be careful about moving forward, Hashem is already explaining the sibas, right? V'tam l'mo, it's ha'gdama v'tam l'moshe adoneinu, sibas ha'mitzvah, that he's going to explain to Aaron what happened. Shelo yachshov Moshe. Moshe shouldn't, God forbid, think shechas v'shalom eizes shemetz nimtza ba'aron she'eno roi l'geshes ala kodesh kiyim b'yom ha'makudash shenischaper avon. Aaron shouldn't think he's not worthy of going into Kodesh Kodashim more regularly. It's his unworthiness that doesn't allow him to enter Kodesh Kodashim except for once a year. You shouldn't think that. L'zeh hiktim Hashem Yisbarach dibur ala Moshe. Therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke, he introduced by speaking to Moshe, Acharei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron, after the death of the two sons of Aaron. Meaning, Ma haya dibur. So what did he explain to him? Hu shehodiyo Hashem Yisbarach sibas misasav. Hu bekarvasam lifnei Hashem. He explained to Moshe, you have to understand why the sons of Aaron died. They died because they drew too close to Hashem. This is the approach, we'll see, he's going to reference it, of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh and other tzaddikim. And Nadav and Avihu didn't die. Again, it was not a lowly death, it was a very holy death. It was still Neveiro what they did. They still entered Kodesh Kodesh without Rishos. But they didn't die for some lowly sin. Right? And all the opinions that we do find in Chazal, also have to reinterpret them as being spiritually motivated. It wasn't, God forbid, a wickedness. Hainu. Lafkav. Shiniskarvu ma'od el p'nei Hashem v'nisbatlu m'mitziusam. Meirov hasagasam. That they drew so close to Hashem that they ceased it, right? They ceased to exist. Their mitzius was negated because of the great grasp that they attained, the lofty kedusha that they felt. V'cheshkom li'dabik b'makora. That they had a cheshek to what? To return, to cling to their source. In other words, their neshama said, ad kan this world. They got a taste of a world beyond this world called Kodesh Kadashim. And they said, we want to go home. And they did. They transported home. Right? V'gal anafsham as a bisarim, that their soul, as it were, rejected their flesh, despised its flesh. I don't want my soul to live in captivity anymore. I want my soul to be set free. V'nidbeku b'konam, and they went back to cling to their creator. V'ayin v'orachayim. That's really the Orachayim HaKadosh's explanation. U'mizeh haven Moshe Adonenu. So that with this understanding of why the children of Aaron really died, Moshe now better understood why Hashem was preventing Aaron migeshes b'chol eis ala kodesh. Why did Hashem not want Aaron to go in? Not because Aaron was unworthy of going in. Aaron is absolutely worthy of going in, but there's a danger of going in. There's a spiritual danger of going in. Right? Now it's a good danger, it's a neshama wanting to go home. Okay, it's rooted in a holy thing. But Hashem needs an Aaron in this world, right? So again, let's just look at the words again. So Hashem was explaining to Moshe, "Hamenia la Aaron migeshes b'chol eis ala kodesh, who leval yizvato mitziuso meirov chukaso." Because you go to such a lofty level, right? If you can't bring it back down, and by the way, Chaver, this is a very appropriate lesson for us to learn during Sfiras HaOmer, because the whole avodah of Sfiras HaOmer is that there's a certain giloy or that we experience on the night of the Seder. First word of Maseches Pesachim is or. Night of the Seder is a light. It's a laila kayom yoy. It's a night that shines bright like the day. We get this blast of or, and then we have to bring it back down and absorb it slowly. That's what our Rebbe, Agur Dekal, B'nai Sosra, writes in his writings on Sfiras HaOmer. He says there's this godless hamochin. It's like, you know, Pesach, this leap. You leap to this very high level, but then you have to go back and slowly absorb it, right? Chesed sheva chesed, gevura sheva chesed, tefera sheva chesed. Because if I don't have the kalim, again, Hashem gives me a gift on the Seder night. It gives all of us a gift on the Seder night. But then we have to come back. We have to bring it in slow. Give me one more second. So Hashem says, "Aaron, I want you to. I'm telling you not to go there because I want you to live. Right? One day a year. So you'll say, so how do you survive? How do you survive what? How do you survive Yom Kippur? So he says, look at the last three lines. Rak biyom amakudash. But on Yom Kippur, when a Jew has a certain spiritual capacity to handle loftier levels, he has this neshama yisera of Yom Kippur. Right? Every Shabbos we get a neshama yisera. There's an expansiveness of our spirit on Shabbos, which is why on Shabbos we have to strive for higher spiritual levels, not just sleep away the day. Right? Shabbos is the day where we do the most malacha. Spiritual malacha. Right? We have to reframe it. We often say, you don't do malacha on Shabbos. Shabbos is supposed to be, you don't do physical malacha, so you save all of your energy, your kochos hanafesh, for spiritual malacha. This whole svarim written on that concept. Right? So on Yom Kippur, where a person has a tosefes, neshama yisera, v'yuchidas chaya, where a person has, again, a higher dimension of soulfulness, yesh bo koach lispo behiras yoser, v'lamud behechov lo yisvato. So you can go to such a high place, right? Like we include in the, you see it throughout the Yom Laram, we include, right? We don't just say le'ela, what do we say in le'ela u'le'ela, or le'ela le'ela, right? We go above and beyond. So we have a spiritual capacity to handle that. V'havein ki katsarti, understand this well, because I'm writing in shorthand. Okay, but we should understand. Moshe is being told, Acharei mos shnei b'nei aon b'karva samlis nei Hashem v'yamusu. Right? There's a danger of going there. It was a holy death. Aaron, certainly worthy of Kodesh Kodashim, but again, he's going to, the desire to for the neshama to go free in Kodesh Kodashim is too overwhelming. And if you don't have, again, the expansive spirit of Yom Kippur, it's impossible to bring it back down to this world. Yeah?
I don't know. Like, if that's how it transpired with Aaron's sons, then on a practical level, what status does the Kodesh Kodashim have with two dead bodies in it?
Nothing happens to Kodesh Kodashim.
Do
I mean, it's interesting also the way that they died, right? The bodies of tzaddikim is an interesting thing in general, right? To what degree they're metame, and the way that the Pasuk describes how they died in Parsha Shmini, it's certainly not going to, you can't defile Kodesh Kodashim. And so, I mean, the Gemara says there's certain things that are just, that are so holy they can't be defiled.
Yeah.
Right? Torah. That's that whole discussion by the Balkari, exactly. Can a Balkari learn Torah? Halo kod devarai ke'esh no mesha. My words are themselves fire, and fire can't become tame. So, you know, the extraction of those bodies, again, so we'll also talk about that. But they died a holy death. That's how the Orach Chaim HaKadosh wants us, and how our Rebbe wants us to see it. It was a holy death. Again, it was still an aveira. Call it an aveira l'shma if you want. A person has to know how to stay within Kela. Very, very important. Again, that's so much the avodah of Sfira Sol. Tikkun Hamidos, to be able to build a proper kli. Then the person becomes too much of an or, and it doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to be on such a level that their soul flies out of their body. But you get ahead of yourself sometimes in avodah Hashem. It's important to be methodical and step by step. Okay? To just fully, you know, to expand upon this piece a little bit. Let's turn a couple of pages. I think this piece is helpful to bring out this idea a little more. Kof Lamed Hey. And then we'll go back. But I think to do these two pieces back to back, again, some of the pieces are not Mesudar according to the Psukim. So let's do the piece Asher ala Aaron v'lo Yamos. Kof Lamed Hey, the right hand column. Asher ala Aaron v'lo Yamos. Okay, so again, this is Pasuk Beis. Yomer Hashem Moshe, Dabr al Aaron Achicha, Val Yavo B'chol Eis al Hakodesh Mibeis la Parochas. He can't go, you know, within the partition. He can't go behind the curtain. He can't go into Kodesh Kodashim. El Pnei HaKapores. Right? He can't stand before the cover on top of the Asher al Aaron, the cover which is on top of the Aaron. V'lo Yamus. Right? And you won't die. So let me read you Rashi. You'll see he's going to make a diuk in this Rashi. The lo yamus, don't go there so that you don't die. Rashi says, "She'im ba humes," because if you do go there, then you will die. Okay. If you don't go there, you won't die. But if you do go there, you will die. What's Rashi say? Perish Rashi, she'im ba humes. If you do go, you will die. The kasavnu b'biurenu l'Rashi, the hukshala. What was bothering Rashi? That's always the kash. What did Rashi feel the necessity to add something? In the Chayenu, here quotes the Mizrahi. The Leo Mizrahi is one of the commentaries on Rashi. Let's see what he says. Why does Rashi need to point this out? Surely it's an accepted rule that from a negative statement we deduce the positive, right? We call lav ata shomea hein. Right? From the negative, you infer the positive. He answers that since the previous verse makes the connection to the death of Aaron's sons, and therefore this verse is giving Aaron a warning not to die in the same way as they died, as Rashi stated in his previous comment, it is necessary to point out that the words v'lo yamus indeed indicate this. Furthermore, the verse cautions ki ba'anan era'a, right? I reveal myself in the cloud, which is a reason why the death penalty applies in this situation. Rashi therefore makes a point of indicating that by entering he will die because of the divine presence that is within the pillar. Okay. All right, let's see how our Rebbe addresses this Rashi. Let's see what he does with it. So what was bothering Rashi, the Yosahayelo Lomar Onesh Havara, Mishiyomar She'im Lo Yavur Lo Yamish. Why, again, why, what's bothering Rashi is, why is the Pasuk stating the negative? The Pasuk says, don't go there and you won't die. Why doesn't the Pasuk say, one who goes there will die, right? Michal Lea Mos Yumas. One who violates will die. It usually presents it in the positive. Why say the onesh, right, in such a roundabout way? Okay, so he says, v'nira li the amar b'derech zeh hu al pi ma shekasav achinuch. Let's learn a line from the Sefer Achinuch. Amad dekayim alan klal gadol b'torah lo onesh shekasav eliyim kin hizir. We have a rule. The Torah will not issue a punishment until the Torah first warns you not to do it. The Torah has to say, don't do it. And if you do it, here's the punishment. Okay, lama kazos. And why is that so? Upeirish, the Chinuch explains, shehu deba ha-hazhara bifnei atzmo, zulas ha-onesh, lahoros, kishafilu yisratza ha-odam, v'yafkir atzmo l'onesh. The Torah says you're not allowed to do something. And then the Torah says, and if you do it, what? Here's the punishment. The Sefer Chinuch says, why? Because a person might say, you know what? And again, it's obviously rooted in the ignorance of an understanding of what the onesh is, right? But a person might say, it's worth it for the punishment. A person, you know, God forbid, says, you know, I'll commit a white collar crime, right? I'll steal $100 million and I'll pay a $10 million penalty. I come out on top, right? It's worth it to go to jail for X amount of time for this amount of money. A person can have all sorts of cheshbonos, right? The pleasure I get from this taiva is worth it, right? To do the avera and I'll, whatever. I understand I'll be punished. I'll take the punishment. So the Torah says, no, you're not allowed to make deals like that. Says the Sefer Achinuch, a person, the azhara stands alone. The warning stands on its own, separate from the punishment, to tell you that what? You can't negotiate and say, I'll take the punishment. I choose the Avera. I have the right to choose the Avera, and I'll pay the penalty. Right? It's worth it. The Torah doesn't allow a person to be mafker himself. You see? What he writes here? Kishafilu yisratza adam v'yafkir atzmo. A person makes his life hefker and says, like, I'll make the trade. I'll take the punishment. Yafkir atzmo l'onesh. Right? I'll surrender to the punishment. Afal pichein lohutra Avera. You don't have that choice. So again, now that we understand, it's almost like a spiritual taiva to go into Kodesh Kodesh, right? Like, I want to get as close as I can to Hashem. I'm going to die. Right? I know it's a big punishment, and I'm not allowed to, but it's worth it. It's worth it for my neshama to come back to Hashem. A person might have a chesed like that. Lefize gam b'kan yisparish. So the Torah is saying, v'lo yamusu. That's part of the warning. You're not allowed, don't die. Hashem is saying, I don't want you to die. I'm willing to die to be close to Hashem. Hashem says, you don't have permission to do that. I want human beings in this world. Chevet, such an important yisod. Hashem, this is not like a bidyeved reality where we just have to survive to get back there. And if I can take a shortcut to get back there, in a holy way, it's worth it. No, lo yamusu. Hashem says, I want you to live. Right? Lo amos kiachya. I want you to live. Shigam zehu belav. This is also a lo sase. There's a prohibition. Even if a person says, I'm not afraid to die. I want to get close to Hashem. Hashem says, it's not a maila. It's a chisaron. It's an avera. It's a very holy avera. Right? One can even say that what Aaron's sons did was an avera lishma. But Hashem says, after what happened with the sons of Aaron, I want to be clear about this. Lo yamus. Right? I don't want you to do it. You're not allowed to do it. And separate from that, Rashi's saying, "En she'im ba humeis, you will die if you do it." All right? But don't think that you can make a trade here. Gamzehu balav, this is a lo sase. Okay, so it's very important. Again, Hashem wants us to live within boundaries. Very, very important. Even if a person has very lofty spiritual aspirations, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "You don't have the right to do that. I have rules by which I want you to live your life." Yeah.
Why are people so bothered by Rashi saying, like, he's gonna die? Like, I think it's come up a lot. Like, Rashi.
Not so bothered by Rashi. It's more bothered. It's more what Rashi was bothered by, and it's really what should we all be bothered by when we read this pasuk? Why is it stated in the right? Because Hashem wanted to almost make an isser of lo yamos, you're not allowed to die. And then Rashi says, oh, and by the way, and if you do, you will also die. It's almost like there's an azhara, there's a warning, a prohibition, and the punishment almost as two separate things. Right? And that's the Sefer Chinuch's klal, that you should realize that a person shouldn't just say, okay, I'm willing to trade the Avera for the punishment, and we'll call it even. Hashem's like, you don't have that choice. That's not one of the options available to you. Okay. All right, let's go back. Let's turn back. Let's turn back one page. Kof Lamed Gimel. This is very important. This is a very important idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very precise in the way that he calculates people's pain and suffering and hardship. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes into consideration, I'm just going to frame the idea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes into consideration the ripple effect, and again, it doesn't feel this way. What we're about to learn is you know, Sod Hashem Lireya. We don't understand Hashem's calculation, because sometimes we feel that, again, Lamashal, just to frame the idea. Right? A person passes away. So what are the ramifications for everyone else in that family? Person passes away, God forbid, tragically. Right? So, and let's assume for a second that there's a reason that person has to die. But what about everyone else? Why should they suffer? They're going to go through a lot of pain over the loss of that person. So look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes into consideration, right, the ripple effect of any amount of tsar. It's a very, very important piece. And it really begs the question, which I don't have a good answer to, that Rabbi Akiva, you know, during these days, Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, right, were taken from him. During these painful days of Sfiras Omer, it's one of the sad side of the equation of Sfira. So, like, what about, you almost feel, I'll say something, I hope it's not inappropriate, it's a little inappropriate, but you almost feel like because Rabbi Akiva was such a tzaddik, and Rabbi Akiva spent his whole life, like it says at the end of Brachos, Daf Samach Aleph, I've been waiting my whole life to dial Kiddush Hashem, right? I've been waiting to fulfill the whole Nafshecha, when can I? And Rabbi Akiva died a martyr's death, and his Talmidim are like, Rebbe, you know, how could you be so for such a thing, right? Rabbeinu Ad Kan, he's saying Shema, and he's like, what do you mean? I've been waiting for this. It's almost like Rabbi Akiva is such a tzaddik that he could endure like almost any amount of pain. It's like nothing that was like too much for Rabbi Akiva. Like you would think, Rabbi Akiva shouldn't, the Talmidim should be saved simply because of the pain it's going to cause the Rebbe, who was the biggest Baal Tshuva and built such a yeshiva. Like the Talmidim should survive just so Rabbi Akiva doesn't have to go through that suffering. But oh, it's almost like Rabbi Akiva's Amun and Bitachon was so strong, almost like didn't hurt him in a way. I don't know, maybe I'm saying something that's inappropriate. I don't know. But let's read inside. Rav Brechia, bottom right-hand paragraph. Rav Brechia Pasach. Again, we have to grapple with the fact, what's it going to be for Aaron when his children die? Is it a punishment for Aaron also? Does Aaron deserve to be punished? Again, Sod Hashem Lireya, we don't know Hashem's calculations. But let's read inside a little bit. Rav Brechia Pasach. When Rav Brechia in the Medrash began his exposition on Parshas Acharei Mos, he began with the following pasuk in Mishlei: Gam anosh letzadik lotov. To punish the righteous is not good. Obviously, you shouldn't punish the righteous. Why should a good guy be punished? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Afal pi. Even though I punished Aaron and I took away his two sons, right? And Lo Tov, and that feels like that's unfair. That's the end of the pasuk. Let's read the whole pasuk. I'll put the pasuk together. Gam anosh letzadik Lo Tov, right? To punish the righteous is not right. Lahakos nedivim al yosher, that the Nedivim, that the noble ones, should be struck, right? Al Yosher, that they should be struck for their what? For their uprightness? Again, Mishlei is sort of lamenting this fact. Like, why does it seem sometimes that innocent people take a hit for no reason? So, this is what it's written in the Pasuk. Achrei Mos Shnei B'nei Aaron. In other words, Rebrechia somehow is using this Pasuk in Mishlei to grapple with the question of the ripple effect of the death of Aaron's children. How will it affect Aaron? Does Aaron deserve this? Right, what are the ramifications? Let's read a little more. Let's see if we can put it together. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ilchulu. Okay, I have to see what, I'm not sure what Rabbi Eliezer says. I didn't have a chance to look up the Medrash. I'm sorry. Okay, Bogam kin letare tu lefarish hadibur mahu. It's also coming to explain again what is the dibur by Yidabra Hashem al Moshe, Achrei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron, right, which again we ask the question, what did Hashem say to Moshe in the opening passage? So let's try to put it together. V'hu al pi masha peirashnu, da'oga b'lev ish. Now let's get the pasuk right. The pasuk says, yashchena. Da'aga b'lev ish yashchena. Pasuk in Mishlei says, da'aga. A person has worries in their heart, then a person says the pasuk pashupsha yashchena. He should quash it. He should silence it. You're nervous about something? Put it out of your mind. Don't think about it. Yashchena, suppress it. However, Chazal famously say in Maseches Yoma, not yashchena, but yisichena. Talk it out. Talk it out to a friend, a spouse, a therapist, a rabbi. Yisichena la'acher. Talk it out. Right? Don't carry that weight inside and don't try to ignore it. Talk it out. You'll feel a lot better. So it's almost the opposite. Mishlei says you should suppress it. Chazal says yisichena. Talk it out to others. Yisichena la'acherim. Talk it out. So says our Rebbe, v'hinei ma betzabaza. How does that help? Why does talking it out help? Now you can answer this as a mental health professional. But our Rebbe is going to take a different mahalach. U'pirashnu, so I explained elsewhere, d'hinei hatzur tamim pa'alo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, right? Hatzur, Hashem, the rock. Hashem's the rock, right? The rock whose pa'alo, his actions are tamim. Hashem's actions are perfect. Hashem's actions are just. V'chalila lo yavas mishpat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never, God forbid, Hashem is a melech, ohev tztako mishpat. Hashem is, would never pervert justice. Okay. From our perspective, sometimes the world's a hard world. V'ineim chato adam v'roi l'kabel onish v'cheto, bein begufo bein b'mamono. And therefore, if a person sins and deserves to receive some type of punishment for their sins, whether it's a punishment of the body or punishment of their financial well-being, if the dad does the wrong thing and he loses all his money, right, so the kids are also going to pay the price. Right? If a person is afflicted with their body, it's going to take a toll on everyone else around them. Right? Who else is going to suffer when the individual is punished? The children, the parents, the friends, the siblings, the relatives, the neighbors. Everyone gets swept up in the suffering. Now, obviously, not everyone is equal. Again, another very important rule of human suffering. An article my wife showed me many years ago. Right, a person has to recognize when there's pain, a person has to recognize their place within the sphere of pain. In other words, let's say you have, it's very important that you saw it, so I'm just going to say it out. Let's say you have a chola, right? So a person who's going through a very debilitating illness. So that person's in the middle. Who's the first circle around them? Right? The first circle around them is immediate relatives, right? Spouse. Okay? Who's the next circle? Other relatives who are a little more removed. Who's outside of that? You know, the neighbors, the friends, the community. Okay, but you have to know what circle you're in. And the rule is you can't dump your pain into an inner circle. So let's say a neighbor, right, is having a really hard time that so-and-so's spouse is sick, right? So they go to the spouse who's healthy and say, like, you know, and they start like pouring out their heart that they're, I'm so sad that your husband is sick, right? And that's not appropriate. In other words, you're dumping more pain into a more inner circle, and you have to know your place. You're allowed to dump to an outer circle, right? In other words, a spouse can complain to a cousin can complain to, that's just an important yesod in navigating sometimes difficult situations. So the Rebbe's saying, obviously the punishment doesn't affect everyone equally. Right? Some will be more pained, some will be less pained. I read the biography of the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, the new article biography of the fifth Ger Rebbe, the fourth Ger Rebbe over Yontif. Amazing. There's so many good stories for you guys. But just a one footnote, there was a chassid from the world of Ger, which is the world of Kotsk, which is very sharp and evistic. So there was a footnote in the Sefer. There's a footnote in the Sefer that this person used to say, like, in a real Kutzker, evistic, Musri way, used to say, you know, and he was a chashuv person, a chaver svarim, a chashuv, a chassid. He said, I used to remind myself at times, just for the sake of humility, what it's going to be like the day that I die. Just to like, so I don't think I'm like such a big shot. He said, what's going to happen? He said, some guy, some other chassid, some person, is going to be sitting having his breakfast. And all of a sudden, his wife's going to hear it say, do you hear what happened? He's like, what happened? The guy's in the middle of like eating his breakfast. He's like, Yisrael died. Oi! He's going to say, oi. And he's going to go finish his breakfast. And then he's going to, okay, I got a bench because I got to make it to the Levi. He's like saying, like, you know, like, you think, like, you know, like the world's going to stop when you pass away. It's like his own Kutzker Musri way. Like, the guy's going to finish his comport, as I said, finish his breakfast and bench and, like, you know, read the newspaper and, like, oi, he'll give a krechs, oi, you know, oh, sorry to hear, you know. And then life goes on. It's this reminder that, like, no one's so chashev that the world can't exist without you. It's a humbling thing. I was once in a taxi cab in Eretz Yisrael with Herschel Schechter sleeping right by the Kotel. And Schechter said, remember how it came up? He was talking to whoever was driving, was talking to him. And Schechter said, oh, that's a line, but just hear it come out of Schechter's mouth. It was like, Schechter said, yeah. He said, you know, the cemeteries are filled with people who the world couldn't live without. In other words, like, life goes on, you know? There's no one who's indispensable. Cemeteries are filled with people who are indispensable. In other words, someone's going to fill your shoes one day. It's a scary thought. It's a humbling thought. But, okay, we try to make our lives meaningful. So he says here, right? Obviously people, okay, different people, right, are affected very deeply. Other people say, oh, and then they move on with their life, right? Even if it was a chashuv person. Ki kol ha-karov karov mitzdar biyoser. Because the closer you are, the more you feel the pain. Uchvir ha-chakos nisma atatzar. And the farther away you are, the less you're pained. But Kadosh Baruch Hu has the whole thing calculated. Even the guy who's going to hear over his, you know, morning coffee, oh, you heard so-and-so passed away? Oh, I'm sorry to hear. Baruch Dayanemis. You know? If people can afford a full three words. BDE. You know? That's a hanhaga I would like to recommend. You know, if you hear someone passed away and you're like texting, just like go for the whole phrase, you know? See if you can muster up the strength to type out the full Baruch Dayanemis instead of BDE. I think that would be good for our midos. Okay, fine. Im kol zeh, l'kol echad megia eiz etzar. But everyone feels the tzar in varying degrees. V'nei im ha'adam shenan nashchata. So again, you'll ask the kasha. So if the one who sinned deserves to be punished, machetu ha'anashim ha'makuravim shmegia gam lehem tzar shmitzar mitzar. Why do the other people who are his relatives deserve to suffer? What did they do wrong? V'chalila lomar she'es anchu b'lo mishpat. I'm not going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes in a way that's unfair. El al karkach. You have to say, HaKol emes v'HaKol b'din. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his cheshbonos. Didonon ba'oso eis es kol ha'anashim mekuravin v'ha'ovim megil l'chol echad k'fi ha'din kol kach tzar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, remember that time you spoke Lashon Hara, it seems like it has nothing to do with the pain you're feeling now over the loss of your whatever. But the pain you're feeling now is somewhat a punishment for you for the time that you forgot to make a bracha when you ate. What's the kesher? I'm saying, I have the kesher. I got all this. You know, you don't need to audit my books. I got it all calculated. Umanish Hashem Yisbarach HaSa'adam HaNanash V'yedeizim Mekabel Kol Echad Kefiat Sarah Megillo Ba'aruchet Shechata Ba'atzmo. No, but each person will pay for his own averos, right? At that time, in some way, it's an interesting, very complicated calculation. Uveim haye bechabura halazo. So, if you're part of this chabura, if you're part of this group, afilu ish echad she'eno roy lekabel hatzar. But let's imagine that there's someone who really doesn't deserve to have any pain, who's somehow connected to this situation. Memele yinatzel gama ish hachote me'aonesh hakavu alo beguf mamon. But if there's one person who could really, and again, there's always something that we all, you know, we're all indebted to Hashem. But if we could imagine a completely innocent person who's going to feel any degree of pain who doesn't deserve it, so then Hashem says, okay, so then I have to call off the punishment on behalf of that third cousin who doesn't deserve any pain from hearing that his third cousin passed away. So I'm going to spare the individual who did the aveira. It's all calculated. Ki be'achreach yitzar gam chavero v'achi b'tzaro.
Right? If there's someone who doesn't deserve to suffer at all, then the chalila Hashem yisbarach lo yavas mishpat. Hashem doesn't cause pain to someone for no reason, right? Like the Talmudic phrase, tuvia chata v'chulu. The Gemara says tuvia sinned, and someone else got lashes. That's not fair. Tuvia doesn't do it here. Chas v'shalom. Adasher chalila yimtza avlaso gam b'chaveru v'roich chas v'shalom l'tzar gamkin. So again, this is all part of Hashem's grand calculation. Okay? Fine. Good.
So he says, that's the secret of da'aga believe ish yisichena l'acher. If you feel pain in your heart, talk it out with someone else. Right? In other words, what? If I bring the pain to someone else, right, who doesn't deserve to, and let's assume it's a friend who feels my pain. Well, maybe the friend, the merits of the friend, right, will make Hashem rethink the thing. Hashem says, well, I wanted this person to feel pain because he did an avera. But now he's sharing it with a nice guy, his chaver. Why should his chaver feel pain? So Hashem says, oh, you know what, I'm gonna remove the pain. I'll re-cheshbon based on, right, that other person. That's what he explains at the end of the paragraph. Da'aga b'lev ish yisichena l'acherim, ki pen yimtza ish kazeh sheyitzar b'sar. Maybe you'll find someone who's going to feel your pain, v'hu eino roi la'onesh, and he doesn't deserve to have any pain. Mameila, Hashem will take away all of the Asurin from the one who was guilty, from the original individual who was guilty. Yeah.
Is that part of why you should always share the tzaddik?
When you share the tzaddik, first of all, the tzaddik hopefully has the sensitivity to deeply feel your pain, right? And he's very innocent, hopefully, that he doesn't deserve that pain. So that will mamela cause the pain. It's a very deep yisod. He says, afterwards, I found this in the writing of Rav Moshe Chagiz, and I've discussed this elsewhere in my Sefer Agra de Pirka. Good. So now let's come back to our Medrash. So now we come back to Aaron and his sons. So this is what Rav Brechia is grappling with in the Medrash. Right? Ulefiza gadur, the bottom paragraph. Ulefiza davar gadol diber lanu rebrechia. Rebrechia was bothered. Ma'u adibur hanemar pasuk rishon. What was the vayedavar Hashem on Moshe in the first pasuk? What did Hashem say to Moshe? And Rebrechia responded by reflecting and thinking about the pasuk in Mishle of gam anosh letzadik lo tov. La'akos nedivim, turn the page, al yosher. The question is, what's the gam in the pasuk, right? Gam anosh letzad. Also, to punish the tzaddik lo tov. What do you mean also? What's the gam? Well, right? The kashra mahu gam. Well, ma koi the gam. What's the gam? Right? Also, it starts off with the tzaddik and then it switches to nedivim. It's a secondary question. But the gam is a good question. Gam anosh the tzaddik. Also, the tzaddik should suffer. Rabbi says, that's the whole point. Exactly. Yes, that's the whole kasha. The one who did the avera should suffer. That's charev onesh. We believe in that. But the tzaddik, why should the tzaddik who's going to feel the ripple effect of this punishment, why should that person suffer? That's the gam. All right, third line. Wafarshu gam anosh letzaddik lo tov. Shashem yisparach omer. Shafilu betzir of davar acher. Dehainu, afilu eino manish as a tzaddik ba'atzmo. Even if the tzaddik's not being punished directly, but even if it's going to be a gam type of punishment, right? Even a ripple effect punishment. Even if the tzaddik is going to feel pain in the way of gam, namely through joining in with someone else's pain. Why should the tzaddik have to suffer? So this is what Rav Brechia is contemplating. Again, when he thinks about the death of the three sons of Aaron. Okay, so jump to the next paragraph now. But we have to remember, Chever, that Aaron was once involved. Again, these things are so beyond our pay grade. But whatever happened by the Chet Ayin Gimel, when Aaron sort of acquiesced to the Chet HaEgel, so when did Aaron pay for that? So you jump to Chumash Devar when Moshe reflects, and Moshe goes back to Chet HaEgel. When Moshe's thinking back of all of Jewish history, and Moshe's reviewing the times that the Jewish people are disappointing Hashem and trying to mechazik them to be better in the future. Look at the next paragraph. Hinei, gam b'ka nemar. We have to remember that it says in Devarim Parak Tes, uva'aron his anaf Hashem. Hashem got very angry at Aaron when Moshe is reflecting on how he came down and he smashed the luchos, and then Moshe says, and you should remember that Hashem was very upset with Aaron. Chazal say, ein hashmada ella v'chulu. Hashmada, right? Hashem says, Hashem was ready to destroy the world. Hashem was ready to kill Aaron. Vespal gam ba'ar Aaron. And Hashem, Moshe, davened to save Aaron. But tefillah osa mechsa. And tefillah always accomplishes at least half. Again, understand that concept well, but okay, we'll take the words at face value for now. V'nitzlu alazar v'yisamar. Hashem was ready to destroy Aaron's children, his four sons. Tefillah osa mechsa. So only two of his sons, Nadav and Avihu, would die. That's really a punishment not just for Nadav and Avihu, for entering Kodesh Kadash, for everything we learned until now, but it's actually a punishment for Aaron. because Aaron himself was guilty of a very big avera. So therefore, and that's what Rashi quotes on this pasuk over there in Dvarim Perek Tes, this medrash. Hine nigzar onesh al Aaron sheyamusu nadav aviu. So already by Chet HaEgel, Hashem had already determined that what? That Nadav and Aviu are going to be taken from Aaron as a punishment for Chet HaEgel. But hold on a second. That was Aaron's avera. What did Nadav and Aviu do wrong? So maybe Hashem was waiting till something happened with Nadav and Aviu to then punish them in a way that would be justified for Aaron and justified for Nadav and Aviu. Says the Rebbe, he puts it all together. Even though Aaron deserved the punishment right then and there, Hashem Yisbarach lo yavas mishpat. Nadav and Aviu hadn't done anything wrong at that point. It would be improper for Hashem to punish them. So Aaron was temporarily spared those years of pain in the merit of his sons, that they didn't deserve the punishment until the time came. Khan, and here in Achremos, Shmini Achremos, Khan matza Baal Chov, Ligvos Eschovo. But now the Baal Chov found that the time had come, Ligvot, to collect his Chov, to collect his debt. V'zeh she'omer, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. So now we understand Reb Brechia's very deep comment in the Medrash. Af al pi, she'ne'anashti es Aaron, v'lakachti shnei bono mimenu. Even though I punished Aaron and took away his two sons, this was etched into the plan already a long time ago. It was as if they were already taken. In other words, I already made up my mind that they're going to die. Why should they right now, at this point of their innocence, be punished? When the Nedivim themselves deserve a patch, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries it out, and that's exactly what happened. Al-Kain lo mesu take of Achar Maisa Egel, Hagam shenigzar hadavar al Aaron. That's why they weren't punished immediately then, even though the decree was already issued. Aval yos shehem lo hayru uyim lezeh, nis'akev hadavar. And that's why it's Achar Emos. Hashem says to Moshe, you should know it's Achar Emos shnei b'nei Aaron. What does it mean, Achare? Look what the Rebbe says. Batzalomar. Shodiya Hashem Yisbarach, top of the left column. Davarzel and Moshe. Hashem clarified the following point to Moshe. Va'amr lo. Achare mos shnei b'nei Aaron. However, there's a rule in Medrash. Medrash says, what's the difference between Achar and Achare? Achar, hadvar me'ila, usually means, sorry, machlokas, I think, in the Medrash, but we usually assume that Achar means shortly after. Acharei means muflag, after a long period of time. So acharei mos, you wonder, why didn't they die? If this decree was issued by Chet HaEgel, why didn't they die until now? Answers Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, acharei mos shnei b'nei Aaron, muflag. Muflag means rachuk, hayamisas b'nei Aaron. The death of Aaron's children was delayed for an extended period of time. Hagam shekvar nigzar hadavar al Aaron. Even though it was decreed against Aaron at a longer long time ago, im kolzeh muflag hu adavar, the matter was delayed. Ad asher b'kar v'asam lifnei Hashem v'yamusu. Until they deserved to get this punishment. Masha'ein kein kodem l'chein lo haya heim ru'uyim la'onesh. And that's the whole discussion here. And the Rebbe ends the last three lines of the piece. He says, Yedidi, my dear friend, im tizboinin b'zeh, if you understand this well, if you see what Reb Brechia, just a couple of words, is hinting to in a medrash, Amish working through a very painful, complicated sugya of schar va'onesh. Im tizbonin b'zeh, if you think about this carefully, he says you'll kiss the hands of the chachamim. V'tira divrei muflaim b'chachma baruch shabachar v'hem mishnasim. Look how seriously, with one line in a medrash that has such a big sugya of schar va'onesh, in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so just in the way that he balances everything. Okay, so study it carefully. And tinashek yedei chachamim, you know, such sweet and important words in terms of the philosophy of schar v'onesh. Okay, one more piece. We'll do one last piece. Yeah.
On the topic of schar v'onesh, is it true? I heard over Pesach that a person doesn't receive reward for their commentary in Israel.
Yeah, the Gemara says in Kedushin, schar mitzvah b'hai al malaka. We don't cash out on our rewards in this world. We also say elu dvarim shaladim ocha perosayim b'lamazeh. Right? You eat some of the fruits of it in this world. Karen Kayama slowly olam hava. But we save the bulk of it for the next world. Because there's nothing in this world that's worth it. What would you want? What would you want for one word of Torah? What would you trade for one word of Torah? $1 million, one word of Torah, you'd be getting ripped off. I mean, you're like, I'll get one word for $1 million. No, Hashem wouldn't allow it. Hashem says, I don't want to. Says, I am Moshe, I like you. I don't want to. I wouldn't want to. That would be an unfair trade. I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to rob you of your star. So for the most part, it's a complicated sugya. So what does that mean? Are there any mitzvahs that we do cash in this world? And again, can I collect the payros and still keep the Karen? And how is that worth it? There's a lot to think about there. Yeah.
What was the connection between including a tzaddik in your suffering?
So gam tzaddik, right?
And then achrei mos shnei be'ahar.
No, so that's the answer. The achrei mos shnei be'ahar. If you want Moshe, I'm explaining to you now, right, that these, again, in both directions. Why did they not die earlier if the gzeira was already from Chet Egel? When you first davened at that time, right, I told you that the two of them were going to die. So why was it delayed until now? And the answer is it goes in both ways. Aaron is going to suffer knowing his children are dead, but he has an avera that unfortunately warrants this. And now they have an avera that warrants their death. So in both directions, if you want to know why it's achrei mos, why it took so long for this to happen, it wasn't until Bekarva Samlef Nei Hashem by Emusa that they actually died, even though it was decreed that they would die long ago. Okay. All right, one last piece. Kof Lametes, yeah.
Does that mean any type of sin that they did, let's say
obviously, if not, you just do any avera now, you get the together. Punishment is all very precise. So again, how to calculate all of it is yeah. Our job is not to be Hashem's accountant. We don't need to keep score. Our job is to do mitzvos, and when we suffer, we should know it's with a cheshbon. And when something happens to someone else in our sphere and it affects us, whether it affects us oy and then we finish our breakfast, or it affects us deeply that I feel my life is forever changed, I should know that it's calculated. The whole thing is calculated. There's nothing. Nothing's real. Yeah.
Okay. So how's a 6-year-old Chas V'Shalom loses someone close to them? They're not really held accountable.
I don't know. There's Gilgul Neshamos also. There's lives that we lived before these lives. I don't know how. I have no idea how Hashem keeps score. The woman who came to the Chavetz Chaim with her child who was born with badly deformed arms, and she's crying. She said, what type of life is my son's not going to grow, have a normal life like this? And the Chavetz Chaim said to her, and again, only someone like the Chavetz Chaim can say this. Chavetz Chaim said, it seems possible that your child in a previous lifetime, right, was a very honest person in their business dealings. Maso mata, give and take. They use their hands in a very holy and righteous way. And for whatever reason, the neshama had to come back to this world to fix up a couple of things. So Chavetz Chaim, it's such a heavy thing. Chavetz Chaim said, I can imagine your child's neshama being sent back down to this world. I'm begging, don't send me back to that world. It's such a hard world. I like it here. I want to stay with you, Hashem. Hashem says, no, you have to go back. You have to fix certain things. But I worked so hard in my last life. I used my hands so, I don't, what if next time I don't use my hands in the right way? So Hashem said, what, you want me to send you back without hands? Can't do that. You're going to be a deformed person. It would be a terrible tsaras for you. And the neshama begged. Please send me back without hands, so my hands will remain pure. So Chavetz Chaim said, your child asked to be created like this. Right? And the woman said, Chavetz Chaim, you gave me a lot of nechama to know that my child is such a tzaddik. Such a heavy thing. Regular people can't say it. Can't even suggest such an idea. But Chavetz Chaim could say it, and that it would be received in a loving way is an incredibly heavy thing. Yeah.
On the topic of Torah knowledge also, I saw a video. I forgot which rabbi I was talking and the source or what they were using from one pasuk. Talking about Chanah in this world, and there's only a certain amount a person going to get, so if they get it from a way that's not proper,
right,
Losing it out of spiritual
manner. Right, I have heard such an idea.
What's the source of that?
I'm not sure. The person has a limited amount of hana, and the question of how you choose to
in the Baal Shem Tov comment on,
I've like, heard a, this a, idea.
On a Mishnah on Pirkei Avos that like gives so many words you could say, so don't waste it. Because
that idea already is a midrash. The idea of having a limited number of words and how you
they say be silent.
How you use it
is a key to something.
I forgot what
it was. Silence is a key to wisdom. I think.
Okay, that's Pirkei Avos.
Someone said like, oh, like you have so many words to expand like the cash in this world. Don't waste
it. The pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, "Nafshi yatza b'dabro," my soul expired at his word. So the midrashim say, one tradition on that is that there's a limited sefer. Chassidim says it also. You have a limited number of words, and it's a question how you use it. Torah and tefillah is free, but in terms of regular mundane words, choose your words wisely. Because nafshi yatza, my soul will expire b'dabro, through my words. That's why one of the tzaddikim said that, I think Rabbi Nachum Mendel Grimanov said that if a person wastes their words, so he called it, he said it's an abazurayhu of shvichas dam. It's a subcategory of murder. Because when you're wasting your words, you're using up your life. It's suicidal. Intense thing to say.
I was stressed.
Okay. Isaac got a good taste of silence recently, no?
Yeah.
Rabbi Braun meditation. I said, you come out of that.
Yes.
Your words are measured. Your words are totally measured. But I just read from the tzaddik? I just read something also over Yontif. About words. Pesach. Right? I can't remember which pasuk he said it on.
Is it also
Pesach is the time when we speak a lot, but there's a zihiras that has to go with it. I balance it out.
Pesach?
Pesach. No, but the tzaddik said something about the shmira that has to come along with it. In other words, we're asked to open our mouth and call the marble the saper is a meshubach. But he had a vart in one of his svarim about kind of the counterbalance to that.
I don't know if anyone else has taken like a Tanis Dibor, but there's a lot of power in that also. Like you realize going through that there's so many things that you don't need.
Super powerful. It's heavy. Yeah, and you become much, much more sensitized to it.
It's an individual kipper. It kind of shows that. Not only are you abstaining from like other pleasures like food, drink, but also abstaining from speech. In some ways, speech could also be defined as afflicting yourself by abstaining from speech.
100%.
It's already like about hana. And some ways get hana from speaking.
For sure.
I was talking to my dad over Pesach about this. He's someone who doesn't speak much, and I asked him like kind of why that is. And he says a lot of times like he's been around a lot of different types of people, whether they're in business or they're through school or whatever it was, and there's a lot of people who talk out of like kind of insecurities and talk about themselves and like bring themselves up. I'm like refraining from that kind of speaks a lot about somebody also, like being someone who's not really such a big talker or such a whatever.
Wow.
It's interesting.
Powerful. I hear that. It's true. All right. Let's do one more. Kuf Lamed Tes. One more beautiful, beautiful, beautiful yesod. B'medrash, the bottom of the right-hand column, the bottom paragraph. B'medrash parshazu v'yisron eretz bakolho. This is a strange medrash. Pasuk says in Koheles, v'yisron eretz bakolho. Okay, let's see what the medrash does with this pasuk. Afilu devarim sha'ata roa osan yisron latora. Even those things that appear to be excessive, right? Yisron. That which appears to be an additive, seems to be excessive to the Torah. Kigon, tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzah. If you look at the mitzvahs of tzitzis, mezuzah, tefillin, if you think of them as something extra, you should know, bechlal matan torahim. Those are also mitzvahs. But, vadvarim tmu ma'od. This is very strange. You have a hava mina tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzah is not part of Torah. In case you see that as something extra, you should know, right? Bakolhu, it's part of it. It's bechlau. A strange comment. Why would you ever think that those are like, you know, extra credit points? These are fundamentals of Torah. Tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzah. Well, we spoke about matzos, right? Matzos, the Russian tables. Erev tochlu matzos, like it's spelled in the Torah. Mem tzadi tov. Mezuzah, tzitzis, tefillin. These are the fundamentals. V'hanira lefaresh.
When it comes to tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzah, each one is meant to remind us to be a good Jew, each in their own way. Mitzvos of zechira. So by tzitzis, it says, reisa moso zecharta, leman tizgru. Right? The whole point of tzitzis is to remind you of the 613. So you'll ask yourself, so let's say I remember the 613 on my own. I have to wear tzitzis. I need to wear tzitzis. I'll remember it without it. Tefillin. Right, you should wear tefillin to remember. To remember. Remember the Torah. Remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. I can do it without it. V'chein mezuzah. V'ayu advar me'ila asher anoichi mitzavacha v'chsavtam al mezuzos. I want you to remember my Torah. So put it on your arm, tefillin. Write it on your doorway, mezuzah. Hinei ha'shichacha b'mitzad artzios ha'chomer. What causes a person to forget? How do I ever forget Hashem? How do I ever forget Torah and mitzvos? The answer is, we live in a world of physicality, the artzios, the earthliness of this world. Asher hu meisach hamavdil bin behiras or hatsura hasichlis laval hisibonein begedulas Hashem yizvarach ve'echu mamali kol alman. It creates a barrier, a meisach, a mavdil, it creates a wall of that clarity from the tsura hasichlis causing me laval hisibonein. The val is born. I stop thinking about the gedulas of Hashem, the godless of Hashem. How Hashem is mamale kolam, and Hashem fills all the worlds. Uvitovos of ha'odfos aleinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's abundant kindness to us. I forget it all. Akachomer misavad in yonei chomrius. But my body, my physicality desires physical things. Va'artzias, right? Earthliness. Asher ba migodel ba'olam ha'asiyah ha'gashmas. And we live in a very, right, gross, in terms of substantive world, physical world. Alkein ha'malachim asher he mibli chomer ha'asiyah ha'artzias he'mamei labetivam bilti shochim karega romusi yisbarach. So angels don't forget Hashem. And angels don't need reminders. They live in a world that's purely spiritual. World that's above this world of asiya, of physicality. Now, but if the whole purpose of these mitzvos is to remind me that I shouldn't be led to forgetfulness because of my physical existence, so one might claim, I'm going to remember Hashem without these things. False, you know, self-confidence and my ability to be bigger than the world. Like the great Shlomo HaMelech said, I'll take extra wives and I won't be led astray. The Torah warns, a king shouldn't have too many wives, it's going to lead him astray. So this king says, this wise king said, Shlomo HaMelech said, I'll have multiple wives and I won't be led astray. Ani arbe v'lo asir levavi. I'll increase my wives and I won't allow my heart to be misled. V'chalila lo marken, says our Rebbe. We don't have this choice. Then we don't have a choice to reach a level beyond ourselves and die al Kiddush Hashem in the way of entering Kodesh Kadashim, like we learned before. You don't have a choice to say, a person can't trust oneself to say, I don't need tzitzis to remember. I'll remember on my own. Ki ha-mitzvos heim tzrichim dafko l'kaimam kasher tzivanu abore. God forbid to say such a thing, because the mitzvos are mitzvos. First and foremost, the mitzvos are mitzvos. As we've seen many times throughout the Sefer, we do the mitzvos because Hashem said so. Kasher tziva Hashem. Hagam shenisgal etamam. Even when the Torah seems to have revealed to us the purpose here, to remember, so I'll remember without it. Lo yotza hanivri yedei chovaso b'kiyumo atam b'zulas ha-mitzvah. It's not enough to fulfill the reason without the mitzvah. You need to do the action. Right? Mitzvos. Yitzarech l'kayim ha-mitzvah shiyesh batam. You need to do a mitzvah even if it has a reason. Kamo mitzvah shelo nisgal etam. Like a mitzvah you don't know the reason. Yitzarech l'kayim ha-mdafka. You need to do a mitzvah. On Shvi'i Shel Pesach, I gave a drash about mitzvahs. So important, mitzvahs. So underrated mitzvahs. I'll tell you such a beautiful thing that I shared. Rav Nassim Muller is a student of the Novominsky Rebbe, who passed away 4 years ago of COVID-19. So he once said to the Rav Minsker, Rav Mahler once said, he's a big mechanic, he once said to the Rav Minsker Rebbe Zatzal, he said, Rebbe, I want to tell you what I read, that the Avos Yisrael, the Vishnus, would do at the end of the Seder. Okay. He said, the Vishnus, the Rebbe, at the end of the Seder, would turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'd say, Rebbeinu Sha'olam. He said, we ate, and we gave you so many kazesim of matzah, and I ate a kazayas of mara. And then I ate more kazesim of matzah for afikom. And Hashem, I gave you so many kazesim. So now at the end of the Seder, he gets to Nirtza. He says, Hashem, when are you going to give us a kazayas of Nirtza? That's all we ask you. We gave you so many kazesim. All I want is one kazayas of Nirtza. Meaning, all I want is a little feedback. Hashem, let me know you love me. Let me know you're receiving my mitzvahs. Let me know that I matter to you. Give me, show me a little love in return. I gave you so many mitzvahs. Hashem, give me a little love. The Rav Minsker Rebbe, he sat there crying. He heard this, he started crying. He was very moved by it. And they put his head down. And after a while, he picked up his head and he said to Rav Mahler, he says, if I could say the following, if I would have been there when the vision of the Rebbe, when the Avos Yisrael, the vision said this, I would have said back to him, Rebbe, as he's standing there saying, Hail Yatata, give us a kazayas of Nirtza. I would have suggested humbly to the vision, the Hail Gevision Sarebbe, I would have said, Hail Gevision Sarebbe, don't you realize that Hashem giving us the mitzvahs is the kazayas of Nirtza? Don't you realize the fact that Hashem gave us his mitzvahs, he entrusted me with his Torah mitzvahs, don't you realize that's the biggest statement of I believe in you, I hold of you, I love you? That's our Nirtza. You think sometimes like we're looking to like trade in a mitzvah for like a prize. Don't you realize the mitzvah is the prize? The gift of a mitzvah. Whether I understand the reason, I don't understand the reason, that's the greatest gift in the world. So a person says, this mitzvah just, no, this mitzvah has a purpose. The purpose is to remind me of God. And I'll remember God without the mitzvah. Says our Rebbe, you can't make such a cheshvin. V'zeh sh'amar, afilu tzitzis tfilin mezuzah, sh'ata roo son yisro na Torah. You look at them as something extra. D'lechore nira sh'nitztavu rak liskra al yodam ha-Torah mitzvah. The whole purpose is just to remember the other mitzvahs. You can't just say, well, I remember without fulfilling it. You have to wear tzitzis, you have to wear tefillin, you have to put up a mezuzah. But po'el asiya mamish, to do it mamish. So now, shir hakasav, the measure of the pasuk, the way to read the pasuk is as follows. V'yisron eretz, what do the pasuk say in Mishlei? In Kohalas, I'm sorry. V'yisron eretz makol hu. V'yisron eretz ratzalomar. Oso ha'yisron. This excessiveness of our life. What appears to be extra, simply as response to a world that's filled with gashmias. A person might say, I'm bigger than that, and for me this is extra. Bakol hu, ratzalomar. Gam zehu, turning the page. Bechlal hamitzvos haTorah. This is, no, bakol hu, this is bechlal, this is a mitzvah. Shalon is galatam, it has to be treated like the same as a mitzvah that we don't know its reason. Asher tzarech lekaimam b'poel daika. And then the Rebbe, in the final paragraph that we're going to learn together today, u'mi'ata tovin heich sheiches psichas hamikra hazeh leparshas ish ish mi beis Yisrael. Let's open our chumash one more time. Yud Zayin Gimel. Take a look, those who have it. This medrash, this comment, is on the pasuk that says, ish ish mi beis Yisrael. Asher yishchat shor o kesev o eiz b'machane. Any person who slaughters, we're talking about a kachin, if you shecht a sacred animal, where? B'machane, in the camp. O asher yishchat michutz l'machane. Or he slaughters it outside the camp. As opposed to what? As opposed to shechting it in the environs of the mikdash. A person who does a shchit, not a shchit of a behemas chulin, a behemas kachin. You take a sacrificial animal and you shecht it outside the proper places, the person's chayav karis. Very serious. So what does that have to do with this drasha about tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzah, doing mitzvahs for the right reasons? Because chevra, there's a big discussion when it comes to karbanos. Does God like karbanos or not? Are karbanos a bidiyavad or a lechatchila? Says our Rebbe, why is it on the pasuk of ish ish mibes yisrael asher yishcha shor ocheves? The medaber b'hakrovas shlamim. When it talks about shechting a carbon shlamim, chutz l'machana, or in the machana, chutz l'beis hamikdash, chutz l'mishkan, The great philosophers, even the Jewish philosophers, among them the Rambam and the more Nevuchim, v'chulu. Why did Hashem command us to offer karbanos? Who? Liyos shahayu mishukam umergalim b'mitzrayim b'tikrovas avodazara. Because pagan culture was very into sacrifice. And therefore we had become accustomed to our sojourns in Galus to what? To tikrovas avodazara, to offerings. Avodazara offerings. So Hashem said, you know what? I have to wean Klal Yisrael off of what? Off of idolatrous offerings. So I'll give them the opportunity to bring what? To bring holy offerings. Even though Hashem says, what? I need your offerings. Hashem doesn't eat the carbon. V'haya zemen ahergel hanasa tevasheni. It became hergel. It became routine by us. It became tevasheni, literally second nature. Right? V'lo haya be'efshar be'kal lahasar mehem ahergel. And it's not easy for a person to change their ways. Al-kein, siva Hashem yisbarach lahakir lefanav. So some claim, some philosophers, among them even Jewish philosophers claim, that Hashem gave us karbanos as a way of, you know, navigating that taiva for offerings that we picked up from the Avodah Zarah world. V'samchu atzma al-pasuk. And they actually base it upon the pasuk, what it says right after, yud zayin zayin. What does the pasuk warn us? V'lo yizbuchu od as zivchayim l'se'irim. Right? You shall no longer offer your sacrifices to the Se'irim, right? Sar la'azazel, to the dark forces. And here it translates here to the demons. Asherim zonim achareim. You're no longer going to sacrifice to what? Rashi says to the Shaydin. I'm going to sacrifice to these false beliefs. So it almost sounds like what? That karbanos are a response to a person who believes in this type of shtuyot, this type of vodazara, this type of Shaydin. So a person might say, why? If I what? If I don't believe in that Avodah Zarah, then I don't have to bring karbanos to the Beis Hashem. Right? Karbanos is for a Jew who's still clinging to old pagan beliefs. But if I'm freed from those beliefs, I don't have to bring a karban. So therefore, he says, "Mameila lefiza yachshov hachoshev ani lo ezbach lesirim." I'm not going to offer to demons. V'shuv lamali lezvach lefnei Hashem. Halo ein lefanav achilosh siyah. It's not like Hashem eats or drinks my wine libations. You know, my offerings. So the Torah is warning us, no, that's not how this works. There's so many layers to every mitzvah that we do. Don't think you have it all figured out. You don't have it figured out. Mitzvahs achieve something beyond this world that we don't understand. Even if it does seem to have a revealed explanation. Right? Person can't claim that I have the idea of the mitzvah, but I don't have, and therefore I'm exempt from physically doing the mitzvah. Person has to do the mitzvah, the poem mamish. Hashem sends us in this world to do mitzvahs. It's the tachlis of our existence, to be able to live a life of Torah and mitzvahs, the poem mamish, in a real tangible way. There's nothing that a Kodesh Baruch Hu desires more than our mitzvahs. And don't think you have it figured out, and therefore it's mamish Christian philosophy. It's the whole world of the New Testament. Like we moved past mitzvahs. Right? Christians don't have mitzvahs. They have some moral ideas. But they're not mitzvahs. Right? Our lives are totally enriched by Torah and mitzvahs. Okay? So we shouldn't think, God forbid, that we've ever graduated from the practical application. Now we can live in a world of theory and ideas. That's not a life of Torah. Okay? Stop here for today. Shabbat. To be back together.
Are we doing this year next week?